This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1839. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded August 17th, Alaska, Albania, Australia, Bulgaria, Canada, Guinea, International Internet, Korea North and South, Madagascar, Peru, Russia, Solomon Islands, Turkey, Uganda, USA, Vanuatu, Vatican, Vietnam, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Mike Bearcliff forwards a story from the August 10th issue of RadioWorld.com. HAARP facility to reopen in 2017 under new ownership. Alaska's High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, HAARP, will reopen next year. The sprawling facility now is under the ownership of the University of Alaska Fairbanks and its Geophysical Institute, preparing HAARP for a new sponsored research campaign. Let the conspiracy theories resume. George Thurman sends a related story from DigitalTrends.com, August 12th. U.S. Air Force wants to detonate plasma bombs in the sky, tiny cube satellites, to detonate plasma bombs releasing ions into the ionosphere to improve radio communication. The article goes on to say the idea of artificially ionizing the atmosphere is nothing new and is already being used in Alaska. The HAARP program uses ground-based antennas to bombard the ionosphere. This radiation produces radio-reflecting plasma that in turn improves radio communication. The plasma bomb idea builds upon the HAARP program by modifying the ionosphere directly instead of relying on ground-based technology. But it's not known whether these plasma bombs will be powerful enough to make any significant changes in atmospheric ionization. Still no improvement at Radio Tirana, Albania, transmitting a hum roar overriding any programming modulation. Kai Ludwig in Germany comments, "The real concern here is that the failure to repair the transmitter could eventually kill the whole service, not just the AM transmission, but the production. I understand that all online availability of Radio Tirana foreign service programming exists only due to the help provided by German hobbyists free of charge." Well, there's a change in the management of Radio Tirana, according to Drita Chicho of the monitoring department. Since August 1st, Henry Musa, M-U-C-A, is the new general technical director of RTSH. His background is digital, coming from Top Channel, a national private antenna. All technical staff will be under his responsibility. Even worse, Radio Australia is not being heard on any of its shortwave frequencies, as I mentioned last week. It had not been heard since August 7th, and now a week later, as of August 17th, still not a peep out of any of the six frequencies Radio Australia had been using. Many people have written to their contact address inquiring and hoping they'll be resuming, but they get back a rather carefully worded, formulated reply, such as this one received by Ron Howard. "Thank you for your recent correspondence with regards to the Radio Australia broadcast on shortwave in the Southwest Pacific. We are currently working with our transmission provider on a number of shutdowns over the past week and again over the next week to investigate a range of technical and commercial issues for the service. In the meantime, we are still on the air via satellite and FM in the Pacific." All this has led to quite a discussion among shortwave listeners, mostly outside the Pacific, about whether it could possibly be counterproductive to complain to Radio Australia about the loss of the shortwave service. Since we're not supposed to be listening to it anyway, could this only confirm what they want to find out, that Radio Australia's shortwave might as well be canceled since it's not reaching much of its target audience? Via Mauno Ridla on Facebook, via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, a later reply, as of August 16th. said the ABC is running a technical outage of the Radio Australia service until Friday, the 19th of August, to test reception in the region. Sorry for any inconvenience caused. So, the test is over on the 19th. Does that mean that'll be the end forever, or does that mean when they'll be back on the air as usual? We'll believe it when we hear it. Reading that, Kai Ludwig in Germany replies, aha, they finally admitted it. Of course, this is the established approach of running a shutdown test to determine if an AM service is still used to such an extent that the operational costs can be justified. In the case of Radio Bremen in Germany, the outcome was judged negative, not because of the absolute number of reactions, but because way too much of them came from hobbyists. In other words, sending comments is in doubt counterproductive. Now, it is also clear that the non-responses sent out from Sydney were not the result of people there not knowing what's going on. Much to the contrary, they are carefully worded, designed to obfuscate things as much as is possible without telling lies. Considering this, I find the working with our transmission provider surprising, insofar as Broadcast Australia cooperates here in a potential step toward killing the Shepparton facility. But perhaps that is just their goal as well. I say, any broadcaster should be delighted to have as many listeners as possible, including those beyond a designated target area. In IRCA and ODXA, Rob Ross in London, Ontario, says his local 1410 station, CKSL, turned off their transmitter abruptly at the end of the August 14th broadcast day, local midnight, without any sign-off message or goodbye. It had been playing nothing but comedy skits. A 60-year-old station. Too bad, but for him as a DXer, it allows him to DX some stations previously blocked from Canada and the U.S. on 1410 and adjacent frequencies. Last week, we reported that Radio Guinea, Conakry, unexpectedly returned to the air August 5th on 9650. And it has stayed on the air since then, unlike the only 2 days it managed to remain when it came on last April. However, since this coincided with the beginning of the Olympic Games, we're wondering if that had something to do with it and if it might go off again after the Olympics. Although I must say we haven't noticed any particular coverage of the Olympics during their broadcasts. Here are some other reports of it from Ron Howard in California, August 11th, from 0650 to 730 UT. Finally, he heard it for the first time. The Conakry sunrise was right before he tuned in at 0646 on that date. They were in French. The signal rapidly improved at 0700 pips in a nice series of IDs, followed by nonstop African pop singing, except for one very brief announcement at 718. There was some light interference after 0700, probably from South Africa, which we believe signs on about that time. And from 0728, a strong open carrier from North Korea. So there's the window, at least, for hearing it that part of the night in California. I usually hear it just before the nighttime sign-off at midnight UT, which varies slightly. August 11th into 12th, it went off at 1 minute past. And August 13th, it went off at 42 and a half seconds past 1 minute past midnight. On August 15th, between 0730 and 0803, Manuel Mendez in Spain was surprised to hear a Catholic program from Guinea, since that was the Feast of the Assumption of the Virgin. On August 15th, Charlie Harlick notifies us, I can't bring up the World Radio Network website on my computer. However, I am able to hear their North American stream via tunein.com. I asked WRN about this, and they said, we are currently experiencing a loss of the WRN.org website being looked into by our engineering department. We are aware of the issue and hope to have it restored as soon as possible. But it was still missing as of August 17th. About North Korea resuming coded broadcasts after 16 years, Chris Greenway says Martin Williams of North Korea Tech confirms these are on the Pyongyang Broadcasting Station external service, that is not the domestic service or the Voice of Korea external service. See his report at 38north.org. The two Koreas resume coded radio broadcasts. Informed analysis of North Korea. This also points out that South Korea resumed numbers broadcasts last February. Manfred Reif in Germany has his own reply about this. He's been monitoring via remotes. Over weeks, I was able to use a South Korean remote receiver in the Seoul area to update my recordings of North and South Korean stations made in the 80s and 90s and add some new entries. I monitored over a period of 6 weeks from April to June during our local afternoon and evening hours. My experience, all of the North Korean medium wave frequencies were severely jammed by South Korean authorities, including or especially the Pyongyang Broadcasting Station's medium wave frequencies mentioned in the jamming, or rather the numbers report. Jamming, at least in the Seoul region, makes it impossible to listen to the programs. 639 kilohertz mentioned in the report is not listed in the WRTH. I didn't find any third-party report of frequency change from 1053, which was a megawatt at Haiju, that was not mentioned in the report. He says, I haven't monitored that frequency. The shortwave frequencies were not jammed, but signals on 3320, 6250, and 6400 were poor. That corresponds with the report on 38north.org. Often South Korean medium-wave jamming continues during North Korean silent times. On the other hand, North Korean authorities jam South Korean stations, but NK jamming seems to be less effective as many of the medium wave frequencies audible in the Seoul region were still intelligible. Surprisingly, the South Korean KBS powerhouse Global Korean Network on 972 kHz, listed at a sesquimegawatt, was not suffering from jamming or it was not audible. North Korean jamming seems to be ineffective, not on a daily basis or only for a few hours, not the whole broadcasts were jammed. And many of the South Korean programs I monitored via Seoul were intelligible, but with noise or jamming in the background. For months, the new station Madagascar World Voice had been using only one transmitter, causing some broadcasts on the original A16 schedule to be suspended. But on Sunday, August 7th, Larry Will in Maryland found the English at 18UT back on the air, 17640. During that hour, they had been running only the Russian broadcast on 9570, which is easily heard in Europe but not here. So I checked 17640, August 13th, and it came on just before 18UT with African Pathways Radio, the same broadcast they have at 04UT on 9480 most of the time. It was a very good signal, as it had been before, but there were some intermittent carrier drop-offs, so the second continental transmitter still had some problems. On August 14th, I tuned in the other African Pathways broadcast at 0402UT, 9480, and they were playing an American anti-war protest song of the past, Turn, Turn, Turn. And after that, they reaffirmed that you get a wide variety of topics during their magazine hour, the next topic being discouraging the dowry tradition in Africa. It was a good signal, and it's one of the best on 31 meters at that hour. Ron Howard has a very tentative report of a Peruvian on 6046.9. UT Monday, August 15th at 0216 to 253. Nonstop man and woman chatting on the phone. It was very weak. A brief music at 0253, blocked by the sign-on of Deutsche Welle in Swahili at 0256 on 6045. He says, extremely rare for me to catch anything here. I last heard Radio Santa Rosa back in late 2011. So a frequency to keep an ear on. However, I checked a couple of nights later and did not hear it. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantichertz, World of Radio 1839. Also bringing you the website with a deep archive of shortwave and other information, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from John Capinos, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by check or money order in U.S. funds to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 7-3-7-0-2. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says one of only two remaining Russian shortwave stations is getting interference from Bulgaria. It's Adygean Radio on 6,000 kilohertz. But Brother Hysterical is also on there during all the hours that Adygean Radio broadcasts, which are only 3 hours a week. 18 to 19 UT on Monday and Friday, and 19 to 20 on Sunday, while Brother Scare uses a much more extensive schedule. On some occasions, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation continues on its day frequency 9545 past its usual conversion to the night frequency 5020 at 05 UT, which means we can hear it better as the night progresses. On August 11th and 17th, I was still hearing 9545 close to 0600, but a very weak signal here. However, on August 17th, they did eventually change to 5020, as Ron Howard reports. 11:58 UT, the usual evening devotional in English, full ID and national anthem. Poor to almost fair, the audio ended at 1200, and transmitter off a minute later. You may not care to listen how freedom of press is being eroded in Turkey from the English broadcast, The Voice of Turkey, being a government station, of course. But they do play some wonderful music. I suggest listening to the Turkish language service between 04 and 06 UT on 11980. I was doing so August 14th, and they were playing some long segments of Turkish music, mostly vocal. But there were also some long segments of Turkish talk. Actually, like most VOT frequencies, it was slightly off to the high side, this one about 40 hertz above. One of the strangest things on American shortwave is the Radio Manansi service, clandestine for Uganda, via WWRB, which we doubt is really reaching Uganda. Here's my log of it on Saturday, August 13th. I measured the frequency, as usual, off to the low side, 15239.970. At 16:55, they were on again with an S9 signal playing music, and they probably started about 1600 with that, but the modulation was cutting off and on two times per second. I guess it was a bad internet feed. There was no ID break at the top of the hour. And at 17:01, the Radio Manansi program was opening with its usual brief anthem, followed by a lighter vocal piece of theme music, and the IADs continued, that is, intermittent audio dropouts, making it totally useless. At 17:06, they started talking, and it got the same treatment. The fragments I could hear sounded like Donald Duck. So it seems the silent segments of a quarter second were compensated for by the audible segments of a quarter second being at double speed and double pitch, which was less obvious with the unfamiliar music. They continued playing mostly music after that. At 17:25, they were talking, and it was still screwed up for at least a semi-hour. I quit for lunch until rechecking a half an hour later at 17:57. By then it had been fixed for now during talk in presumed Luganda. After 1800, there was shrill speech about who else, Museveni. I measured it at 15239.974 until it cut off at 1901 without any perceptible closing, let alone a WWRB ID. Mike Cooper in Atlanta says, for the first time in years, as best I can tell, the Voice of America website now includes a daily program schedule. Here's the exact URL, www.voanews.com/schedule/radio/figure60.html. The page also has tabs for VOA Africa, VOA 1, and VOA newscast schedules, and different dates can be selected, or days of the week. I took a look at it, but it seems that many hours' content are unaccounted for other than news on the hour. Mike says those are the many hours when there is no VOA programming, only an hourly newscast. I reply, even if incapable of a full 24-hour service, even online, the least VOA could do would be to repeat the programming they do have to fill it up. Richard Langley in New Brunswick replies, you might notice that the weekly Science World program hosted by Rick Pantaleo is not on the schedule. It used to air on Saturdays at 0300 UT, among other times. He says, I had the pleasure to be interviewed on one of the shows last year, and links to an audio archive of it. The program was axed last year, but Rick still does an occasional science edition of the weekly Press Conference USA. A podcast of the last one can be found at another link. You can read, of course, in DX Listening Digest, number 16-33, been published via worldofradio.com. Richard continues, he also manages the Science World blog on the VOA website. Rick told me recently the powers that be ended the radio edition of Science World last June of 2015. Carol Castile, the head of VOA's English Current Affairs programs, has me produce one science edition about once a month. And Kim Andrew Elliott told Richard VOA and BBG management are moving away from radio to digital. If it's digital, it's good. The audience research I see does show a drop in radio listening, but for a science show like Rick's, the enthusiasts are still on shortwave. And we notice that there are a lot of science stories on the VOA radiogram that Kim produces, but you have to read them rather than hear them. Here's something else of possible use from Voice of America, according to an August 12th press release. VOA launches Extremism Watch webpage. Boosting its coverage of extremism and terrorism, the hard launch of a new webpage on its central news website, voanews.com. VOA's Extremism Watch desk monitors news related to extremism around the world, takes an in-depth look at stories behind the headlines to give audiences what most Western media do not report. VOA's Extremism Watch is on the front lines of investigative reporting. It enhances our coverage of violent extremism and terrorism, says VOA Director Amanda Bennett. The desk shares info with other U.S. government civilian broadcasters, RFERL, OCB, RFA, and MEBN, to provide audiences around the world in-depth analysis, while adhering strictly to VOA's charter, mandating accurate, balanced, and comprehensive reporting. The Extremism Watch Desk works closely with all of the VOA's 44 language services to tell the full story as it translates and pursues reports in Urdu, Pashto, Turkish, Kurdish, and other VOA broadcast languages for distribution in English. The specific website for this is www.voanews.com/p/6090.html. And they also have, what else, a YouTube video about VOA's Extremism Watch. On UT Wednesday, August 17th, after 01 UT, I noticed that Amateur Radio Roundtable had changed frequency on WBCQ, 9330 instead of 5130, which I think they should have been using all summer for better propagation and less noise. But this seems to be perhaps the same transmitter that had been on 5 megahertz, because it is AM rather than carrier plus upper sideband, and it is varying significantly above 9330. The W5KUB website reminds us that he'll also be doing a four-hour live drive from Memphis to Huntsville Friday morning, August 19th, going to the Huntsville Hamfest, where he'll also be webcasting through August 21st. On August 16th, after 01 UT, I noticed that WRNO was back on the air after missing for at least 10 days. Very good signal and modulation now, and surprisingly, the frequency was almost spot on, 7505. August 17th, at 1301 UT, I found a carrier off the low side of 7260, which is typical of where Radio Vanuatu has been. And apparently that is one of the carriers I was hearing, as per the following reports from Ron Howard in California. Sunday, August 14th on 3944.2, presumed Radio Vanuatu, as usual on the weekend, I checked this frequency to see if I could hear their normal open carrier after ending programming at 10:15 or so, because on the weekend Japan signs off at 0900, leaving the frequency clear for Vanuatu. But today I was very surprised when I tuned in at 12:32 and heard definite audio, easy listening music till 1300, and then most likely news. Possibly a religious program at 1342, but too weak. News again at 1401. Not strong enough to make out the language, but assume it was Radio Vanuatu, based on the unique frequency and not hearing Japan. Then on the next day, August 15th, Ron Howard says something new is happening with Radio Vanuatu, a new schedule in place. Long after they recently had been ending their normal programs, audio stopping about 10:15. Today, from 1326, country and western songs, faint but clear ID for Radio Vanuatu at 1331, still heard past 1400. Some interference from China, however, still needs more monitoring to determine the new schedule. He says Mauno Ritala on WRTH Facebook agrees they were still going at 1450 on both frequencies. Could it be because of a bad weather situation? But it seems to be, Ron says, just normal programming, no tropical storm warnings. So it's an actual schedule change. Finally, on August 17th, Ron Howard says Vanuatu presumed on 7260 at 1237 to 1302. Looks like their extended broadcasting of programming is continuing. Non-stop easy-listening pop hit songs in English, such as Eric Carmen, Phil Collins, mixing with China. CFRX Toronto and its listeners on 6070 have benefited from Vatican Radio's decision no longer to broadcast the Latin Mass every day at 0530 UT. However, it's still supposed to be on the air Sundays and Holy Days, and we heard it Monday, August 15th, which I assume was the Holy Day Assumption. It was gone again 24 hours later on Tuesday, but when it was on, it was overriding CFRX even here. As I suspected last week, Voice of Vietnam's alleged frequency and time change for English to North America, according to the schedule they distributed, is incorrect, or at least premature. As of August 12th, they were still broadcasting on 12005 in English, starting at 0100 via Wolverton, UK. And as of a week later, or at least by August 17th, still nothing to be heard at midnight UT on 6175, according to their schedule. Richard Lemke in Alberta received this reply to his inquiry from the VOV staff. Thanks for your question about the frequency list. Due to some listeners' feedback stating they cannot hear our programs, we've adjusted the frequency list. The adjustments start from August 2016. So we have sent you the August 2016 or the summer updated frequency list, which are exactly the same thing. We hope to receive feedback on the signal quality from you. I say the VOV staff back in Hanoi obviously don't know what they're talking about, still on 12005. They could turn on a receiver, remote probably necessary, and verify for themselves what's really happening, but their commie masters may not allow them to, and or they simply don't care or don't know how, as is the case with far too many people working at shortwave stations. The propagation outlook from Mulder, ANKNC is peaking at 15 and 4 August 24th and 25th, 25 and 5 August 30th, with G1 minor storm levels. Solar flux dropping from 90 August 18th to 75 on the 22nd to September 1st, and back up to 90 by September 4th. That's World of Radio 1839. I'm Glenn Hauser.